Live from the Most High Studio in Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Recovery Rundown with James Goodson. Recovery-related news and information delivered to you weekly. It's the Recovery Rundown.
Welcome to Recovery Rundown. I'm James Goodson. We continue this week with our series on the 2020 presidential candidate stance on the opioid crisis in America, what they have done or plan to do about this problem if they are elected. We want to make it clear, though, that Most High Media and Recovery Rundown does not endorse any political candidate or party. The information we're bringing you is based on the candidate's own words. So this week, we're going to examine former Vice President Joe Biden's record and his plan to address and combat the opioid crisis. According to Mr. Biden's campaign, he wants to build on Obamacare and boost access to drug addiction treatment. His criminal justice plan would promote therapy over incarceration for people with drug problems and offer treatment to people who are already locked up. Here's some of Mr. Biden's thoughts on the epidemic.
Look, more people die on a yearly basis from this opioid crisis than died in the entire war in Vietnam. To put it in perspective, this is not a minor thing. And I think we can't look at this crisis, but I yield to the two docs on the panel, without looking at the abandon with which the drug companies advertise painkillers, without the requisite, in my view, the requisite warnings of what it's about. And quite frankly, docs who I believe willy-nilly overly prescribe. I wrote this statistic down. 282 million prescriptions were written at the peak of 2012. 215 million prescriptions for painkillers in 2016. That's enough prescriptions written to keep the entire American population medicated around the clock for 3 weeks.
Also on the campaign trail, Biden has talked about holding drug companies accountable for their role in fueling the opioid crisis, but has yet to provide a complete plan. A new study produced by the Journal of the American Medical Association found that Medicaid expansion, as mandated by the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, is linked to a substantial reduction in opioid overdose deaths in the last couple of years. First, here's what Medicaid is and how it works.
Medicaid is a U.S. healthcare program that finances the care of low-income and certain high-risk populations, including low-income children and families, people with developmental or physical disabilities, low-income nursing home residents, and others.
This study found that states that accepted the Medicaid expansion under the ACA had up to a 6% lower rate of opioid deaths compared to the states that did not expand the Medicaid benefit. What that means is up to 8,000 deaths were prevented nationwide in a 2-year period because of Medicaid expansion. One of the states hit particularly hard by the opioid crisis is South Carolina. Here's how the Medicaid expansion is affecting people there.
This is the chance.
For all the talk about repealing the Affordable Care Act, USC researcher Christina Andrews has a warning.
It could have potentially devastating consequences.
She and two others just published a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine that says repealing the Affordable Care Act would worsen the opioid epidemic. Here's how. About 150,000 South Carolinians get federal subsidies to pay for health insurance under the ACA. The CDC estimates that 10% of South Carolina residents have an opioid use disorder. That means about 15,000 South Carolinians with an opioid problem would likely lose their health insurance, which provides drug treatment.
There's a lot of research to suggest that this particular addiction is a very powerful one, and that rates of improvement are very low without access to high-quality addiction treatment.
She says without that treatment, we'd likely see the problem getting worse, more overdoses, and more death.
Well,
While the debate as to whether moderate drinking is good or bad on physical health has been ongoing for years, I'm sure we can all agree that heavy consumption and regular blackouts are never good for anyone's mental stability. Now a study suggests that people, especially women, who totally give up alcohol can experience better mental health and reach levels of well-being almost on par with people who never drink. Here's Dr. Audrey Klein from Hazelden Betty Ford.
So there's a very strong link between substance use and misuse and having a mental health condition. So women have a way higher likelihood of having an anxiety. You probably knew I was going to say this, of an anxiety or a mood disorder than men. So that's another thing that's really important. If you're treating women for addiction, you have to be addressing those mental health concerns that they're having as well. And we know there's a strong evidence in literature and research base showing that if you treat both, it's really important to have good outcomes.
The one thing all professionals can agree on is that total abstinence of booze has never had an adverse effect on anyone's mental health, male or female. We have a follow-up to a story we brought to you on the last Recovery Rundown. The first of many prison sentences came down this week for top executives at Insys Therapeutics. Former Vice President Mike Gurry was sentenced to just 33 months in prison and 3 years of probation in the government's attempt to hold Big Pharma accountable for their role in fueling the opioid crisis. Prosecutors had recommended 15 years. Four other employees of the bankrupt pharmaceutical company were found guilty of fraud and racketeering for their roles in conspiring to bribe doctors to prescribe their highly addictive fentanyl-based pain medication, often to patients who didn't need it. These executives are said to be responsible for thousands of overdoses of the painkiller Subsys. For its part in the crime, Insys has distanced itself from any liability, saying the company in no way defends itself from the conduct of former employees and is fully cooperating with the government. We'll bring you more on this and any similar stories as they develop. You ever feel like you and the people around you spend way too much time mindlessly scrolling on your phone and maybe not enough time interacting with each other? Smartphone addiction is a real thing, but recognizing it as a problem may not be obvious. Ironically enough, there's a new app that might help if you have this concern. It's called Instant. And among other uses, it monitors your smartphone activity much the way your Fitbit tracks your physical activity. It's a pretty cool app. So it tracks a variety of your daily activities automatically. It shows the time spent on your device and how many times you checked it daily. It can give you a readout for the apps you use most often, like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Instant monitors your fitness too, walking, running, or even travel time. It tracks the places you go throughout the day. The app also allows you to interact with an Instant coach to understand your data and gives you easy-to-read weekly reports. It's free and available on your smart devices. Actor, author, and activist Russell Brand, who's been clean and sober since 2002, has produced a really cool documentary on drug addiction and recovery. In this one-hour film, Mr. Brand talks about his own years of drug use and takes a thorough look at the differences between providing drug addicts with therapy versus throwing them in prisons and punishing them. Here's a look at the trailer. It's called Russell Brand, From Addict to Recovery.
I got clean at the age of 27. The age Amy Winehouse was when she died. Amy's death was a paradoxical, unsurprising shock. I felt like I could have done something to help, to give her the chance I had. That's why I made this film, to have a sympathetic look at alcoholism and addiction, a condition that the World Health Organization regards as a disorder.
Without a program, any of us are toxic individuals to be around, isn't it? For our family, for society at large, for ourselves.
I reckon that drugs and alcoholism are much misunderstood in our country, by users, non-users, and the government.
We need to start regarding addiction in all its forms as a health issue as opposed to a judicial and criminal issue.
In this film, I want to learn more and see if we could do things differently.
It doesn't make no difference to me. The money, the fame, the power, the sex, the women, none of it. I'd rather be a drug addict. If I didn't have my program, I'd be a drug addict today.
And finally, Demi Lovato is officially returning to music in 2020. After a highly publicized relapse and subsequent stint in rehab, the singer-songwriter has two huge gigs coming up. First, she'll be performing new music at the Grammys in LA this Sunday, January 26th. And then the next week, she'll be singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl in Miami. We wish her all the best on her shows and her recovery. That's all we have this week for Recovery Rundown. Thank you for watching. You can check us out anytime on Facebook and Instagram at The Most High Show or at themosthighshow.com, where you can download our cool app for on-demand stories of recovery and hope. I'm James Goodson. We'll see you next time on Recovery Rundown. That rhythm.